Reginald Joseph Mitchell wasn't born into privileged rank. He came from the potteries of Staffordshire, a boy who studied engineering by lamplight after long shifts at a locomotive works. By 21, he had joined Supermarine Aviation Works in Southampton, a small firm known for elegant seaplanes, not war machines. And yet inside that workshop, Mitchell's mind was already pushing beyond the horizon. Throughout the 1920s, he designed a string of world-beating racing seaplanes, each one faster, sleeker, more daring. But when he turned his attention to building a new fighter for the Royal Air Force, he encountered something he'd never faced before, the grinding resistance of the British Air Ministry. Mitchell's first attempt, the Gullwing Type 224, met the ministry's specifications on paper, but in the air, it faltered. An experimental engine, poor climb, disappointing speed. The Air Ministry dismissed it, and for most designers, that would have been the end. But not Mitchell. He went back to the drawing board, alone, determined, sketching through the night. What emerged was a private, radical redesign, the Type 300. A fighter unlike anything Britain had built before. Convincing the Air Ministry was another battle. They agreed to a prototype, then demanded 4 machine guns. A few months later, they changed their minds. Now they wanted 8. Mitchell had to strip weight, sacrifice fuel, and re-engineer sections of the aircraft just to satisfy ever-shifting requirements. Still, he pushed on. On the 5th of March 1936, the prototype K-5054 rose into the sky for the first time. Test pilot Mutt Summers landed, stepped out, and said the words every inventor dreams of hearing, "Don't change a thing." That moment should have been Mitchell's triumph, but behind the scenes, another war was brewing. The Spitfire was magnificent, but expensive. Far costlier than its rival, the Hawker Hurricane. The government pressured Supermarine to subcontract wider, to build faster, to cut costs, even threatening to shift production elsewhere. Mitchell found himself defending his aircraft, not just in the workshop, but in the Whitehall boardrooms filled with sceptical men. And through all of this, he was fighting cancer. He underwent surgery in 1933, yet returned to work with quiet determination. He even earned his pilot's license, wanting to feel the air beneath the wings of the machine he believed in. By 1937, weakened but resolute, he kept designing from home, sketches beside his bedside table, pushing the Spitfire ever closer to perfection. Reginald Joseph Mitchell passed away at just 42, never seeing the aircraft he created become a symbol of British courage. But the Spitfire did soar, and with every sweep of its elliptical wings, it carried a piece of him, the stubbornness, the brilliance, and the belief that even when governments doubt, a determined mind can still change the course of history.